Okay, so we're trying to finish off the topic of chuppah today, which is related to the topic of bia, and how one which is a recognized kinyan and one which is not, but nonetheless they are related to each other. So we started a little bit yesterday, and today we'll try to see how much we can bring together, focusing really on 2 points. And just to recap a little bit, maybe yesterday we read the beginning of the Gemara, let's read the whole Gemara together just to make sure we're literally on the same page. So just quickly, the Gemara begins on the bottom of Hey Med Aleph. Hamar Rav Huna, Chuppah Konim Mikal V'Chomer. Chuppah should work, according to Rav Huna, from the Kal V'Chomer. V'ma Kesef, Sheyem Meichel B'Tshuma Kona, Chuppah Shemachel B'Tshuma Ed Nishatikne. So it's even stronger than Kesef, so it should work. So that Kal V'Chomer we could have been happy with, because that Kal V'Chomer is simply saying that Chuppah is more accomplishing than Kesef, and therefore it should do the Kenyan also. But then Gemara rejects that and says, really, Kesef does that same thing. Kesef and Michael, Vamarula Bartar, Rusvashel, Chelis Betruma, Shinaber Bachomi, Kiyik, Nefesh, Kin Kaspo, Bahai, Kin Kaspo, who, Matamo, Reno, Chelis, Possession, Yimzigula, Coast, Vesa, Via, Tishkana, Lachela, Chosap. That really Kesef would have allowed the woman to eat the truma of her husband, but we don't allow it because she's not living in his house yet. She's still living with her family. We're afraid she's going to share it with them. Ella parachafi. So let's say like this: my Kesef she'ino gomer kona chuppah shegomeres eino din shetikna. So let's do it that way. That chuppah, which finishes off the process, that should work from a kal v'chomer from Kesef, which only begins the process. And we called attention yesterday to two major problems we have with that, which really are related. One is, why are we assuming that gomeres is better in any way than tchila, just because it gets you to a later point? Is that necessarily stronger? We know in life that that's not always relevant. Sometimes you only got there because there was other things that happened first. And that point is itself an issue, that maybe the fact that there are other things that happened first, that's what makes it work. And how do we know that indeed chuppah is in any way stronger than kesef? So we'll come back to that point in a second, but just to refer to the Gemara says, Mala kesef shekein bodenbo, podenbo hekdeshus maisa sheni. So kesef has power that chuppah doesn't. So bia tochiach, mala bia shekein kone bia vama. So but bia has something which is more powerful than chuppah. So okay, so kesef yochiach, let's go back to kesef again. V'chazer adin l'roi zeh k'roi zeh, v'l'roi zeh k'roi zeh. Okay, they're not exactly like each other, whatever you want. But what they have in common is that they have purchasing power, they have konyan, they have kinyan power elsewhere, they have kinyan power here. Now maybe other things, they have significant hana. Well, shtar yochiach, because let's take shtar and have let that prove the point. Malo shtar shekein motzi bas Yisrael. So shtar is also motzi, that's different. Kesef and bia yochiach, so let's bring kesef and bia together. V'chaz v'radim, l'ray zek v'rezev, l'ray zek v'rezev, tzav shav shabhen, shekon bi'alm v'konikan, same point as before, afani avi chuppah, shekon bi'alm v'konikan. So no, malo shtar shavhen, shekin yesh na balkorcha. All the other kinyanim, at least in some context, work balkorcha. So that refutes that point. Rav Huna, Kesef Mihab Ishus L'Eshkechan. And Rav Huna will say that Kesef doesn't have Balkarchach in the context of Ishus L'Eshkechan Balkarchach. So Amar Rava, Shtei Shuvas B'Dav, there's two ways to refute this point. Chad L'Sholosh Tanan V'Dal L'Otanan. One is that we've said in the Mishnah three paths and not four. Be'od, Chum Chuppah Gomeris El Al Yidei Kedushin. Chuppah only finishes off the process, Kedushin was first. V'chigam Rina Chuppah Shlo Yidei Kedushin, Chuppah Shidei Kedushin. So we're going to learn out Chuppah without Kedushin from both Kedushin. So I'm going to buy Hazakam is Gimel Tanan V'Dal Tanan. Tanan will succeed the Hezhek Sani, will succeed the Hezhek Loksani. So we can refute that by saying we're only talking about things that are explicit. V'tav Amr is Chum Chuppah Gomeris El Yidei Kedushin. V'una Nami Hachik Sani. Kesh in a gomer acher kesef kona chuppah shegomeres acher kesef and in shetikna. So that also we can also explain with a different kal v'chomer formulation. So I went through that very quickly again just to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as the gemara itself. So we have this back and forth about whether chuppah should work, and it's not 100% clear what the maskan is. It seems like Tosfos says that we assume chuppah is not a kinyan. The Gemara earlier sounds like chuppah is not a Kenyan. But as far as the Havaminas and the Maskanas, there's a little bit of back and forth and a little bit of ambiguity as to what exactly is correct. So then we brought in this Tosfos, that Tosfos raises the question here. We saw Tosfos from the middle, so you could ask that according to us, with the dog of the chuppah eirkom, the chuppah is not effective, so let's make the kal v'chomer work backwards. Nim kesef gomer acher kesef mikal v'chomer. Let's have a second kesef work from a kal v'chomer to chuppah. Ma chuppah sheino kone ego meres kesef shekone ein adin sheigmor. So since chuppah, which cannot do a kinyan, still it has the ability to finish all the process, so kesef which can do a kinyan, kal v'chomer is better than chuppah. V'yishlomer dem matzal l'chuchay sheigmor ela acher kesef ke chuppah. So no, the only way it's going to work is after a first kesef, like chuppah works. So my own meha kesef, meha kesef. What's the strength of the second kesef after the first kesef? So that Tosfos was an important point, because Tosfos, first of all, seems to be assuming that if chuppah works, so it means two chuppahs. You have one chuppah and then a second chuppah. And that in the context of kesef, so there's no point in saying two kesefs, because what is the advantage of the second kesef over the first kesef? So essentially, what we'd like to do today is to understand when do we say this idea that it makes sense to do something twice, it makes sense to do something once, what's the advantage the second time over the first time, and also to try to understand what exactly is the role of this chuppah process, and why should it work as a kinyan, why shouldn't it work as a kinyan. Okay, so I did all that very quickly, but just to get us up to speed. Any questions? I'm happy to repeat anything, because like I said, I did kind of fly through that. Noah?
Why can't we ask the same question on Tosfos' reformulation of the Kal v'chomer about Kesef? We say, why does it matter that Kesef can do Kinyan? Why is that advantageous that it can do Kinyan, and yet we have a problem when it comes to Chuppah, and it can't do.
I mean, how do we assume one is better than the other?
Right.
So actually, I think we did mention that yesterday. But yeah, that's an important point, that the Gemara by itself, and we weren't 100% sure how it comes to its conclusion, that finishing is better than starting, and that therefore, if you can finish Kal v'chomer, you can start. And then we're even less sure once we see Tosfos, because Tosfos says, well, let's flip it. And let's say that Kesef is stronger than Chuppah, because Chuppah only finishes and Kesef starts, so Kesef should be able to start and finish. So we don't really have any indication in whether one power is stronger than the other. So with Tosfos, what it makes us think then is that this is a Kal v'chomer of kind of a very technical type that you do find elsewhere in Shas and in Chazal, that we just say, okay, if you have one power, then you're likely to have two powers. But still, which direction should we go in? Not really very clear, and should also mention that Kal v'chomer as a mida is a little bit of a discussion, it's a little bit outside of our scope, but Kal v'chomer are the old Yud Gimel Midos that Torah addresses to him. So Kal v'chomer seems to be the most understandable. Like in Gezeira Shava is a little bit on the other end of the spectrum, and we know that to have a Gezeira Shava you need to have a tradition from your Rebbe that a Gezeira Shava is applicable. Because just because this word is here and this word is there, and they have the same din, and how do you know when to say that, where to say that, how to say that, that's always tricky. So we don't really ever really understand them, but we have a mesorah what Gezeira Shavas there are. Kal v'chomers are very mathematical, it sounds like, and they seem like in our regular lives, we talk about Kal v'chomers, right? If I could handle twice as much, I could handle half as much. You know, you assume that Kal v'chomer is a very logical idea. The problem is, not every Kal v'chomer that we have do we understand as clearly, intellectually, and maybe Kal v'chomers also have a mesorah behind them. So it's not always clear whether the Kal v'chomers that we find in the Gemara are as mathematical as we expect them to be, and we can neatly understand them, or maybe are they a little bit more mysterious, like we're perhaps seeing here. So that is something that we need to figure out. So let's try to understand a little bit more about chuppah, and also this whole thing about when do we say my ume and when do we not say my ume. When does it make sense to say you do something twice and it'll accomplish two things, and when does it not make sense? So we mentioned yesterday that Rav Soloveitchik thought, and others thought as well, that Misvara, we should be talking about one chuppah here. And that's what it sounded like from the Maharsha also, that chuppah accomplishes Kiddushin and Nisum. You have to figure out why some of the sources don't sound that way. But that seems to basically endorse a Mayume point by chuppah. What's the point in just doing chuppah twice? If it's going to accomplish something, you could accomplish it with once. Why do we need to do it twice? What's going to be better about doing it the second time? Marshal, however, disagrees. The Marshal disagrees. That the Marshal says, for technical reasons, we have to be talking about two chuppahs. It's because of the rule of diet. And we mentioned yesterday just what dayo means. Dayo is a limitation in Kal Vachomer. And what it normally means is that I can only derive from a Kal Vachomer, if it's true about A, it's definitely true about B, it has to be the same thing being applied to B. You can't say if it's true about A, then it's even more than that it's true about B. How do you follow? Should I explain dayo again? Is that, I should explain it again? So basically, dayo means, if we know that I'm stronger than you, right, clearly. And so we should say that if you can carry 50 pounds, so Kal Vachomer, I can carry 50 pounds. That's a reasonable Kal Vachomer. But to say, if you can carry 50 pounds, Kal Vachomer, I can carry 100 pounds, that's not a reasonable Kal Vachomer. Because we don't know how to adjust for a greater number. We just know that whatever you could do, I for sure could do. But we can't use the same logic to say, oh, if you can do it, I can for sure do that and more. So the whole phrase is dayo lavo min hadin, lios kinidon, dayo, it's enough for the Kal Vachomer. All we can get out of this Kal Vachomer is lavo min hadin. Hadin is a phrase for a Kal Vachomer, to bring from a Kal Vachomer. It's enough for us, lios kinidon, that it should be just like the first thing, but not that it should be more. Okay? So, does that make sense, that definition of dayo? Happy to say it again, can't tell if it's... that makes sense? Okay. So, if that's the case, says the Marshal, you can't tell me that chuppah does both. That Rav Huna, whether you agree with him or not, that Rav Huna thinks chuppah does both in one shot. Why? Because... where does Rav Huna get chuppah from? How does Rav Huna know that chuppah exists as a kenyan? Well, that's brought up later in the Gemara. But how does he know that chuppah exists at all as a kenyan? How does he know that chuppah could be a kenyan?
For
right. No, for kedushin. Because
he knows that it exists for soon.
Right. But that's okay. Right. What I mean is Kal Vachomer from Kesef. That's what I'm looking for. Right? So Kal Vachomer from Kesef. So Kal Vachomer from Kesef means it has to do what Kesef does and not more. So what does Kesef do? Just the Kenyan. Just the Kiddush. So therefore the chuppah that he wants to derive has to do only the Kiddush. So therefore, it says the Marashal, you necessarily have to have two chuppahs. Because the idea that a chuppah should do both at once, we don't have any source for that power. So we have to be assuming a chuppah that just does Kiddushin, and then another chuppah that does Nisuin. So how do you know now that a chuppah, the second chuppah, can do Nisuin? Why don't we say my only? Because we already know chuppah does nesu'in. That's where we started from. So dayo is not going to take away something that already exists. It's just a limitation on Kal Vachomers. So it's only good enough to give us a chuppah that works just for kedushin. But we also know already that there's a chuppah that works for nesu'in. So you must have two, and we won't worry about my old man. Okay? And this is very technical. Should I say it again?
Is that true?
Not necessarily clear the Rav didn't think it was true, or the Rashi didn't think it was true. It's a very technical approach using the Limudin, saying that it comes out that you need both, and we're not worried about Mayome. So let's think about.
Yes, so that point, that's also Marshall.
That's the Marshall. Yeah. Yeah, that basically Mayome is not going to bother us because we figured every step out on its own. So apparently that's just what it is, that he's telling us Chuppah exists as a Kenyan Kedushin and no more than that, because it can only be equal to Kesef from a Kal v'Chomer. And we already know that there's a Chuppah for the purposes of Nisuin. So, yeah, two Chuppahs. This would actually be very helpful for people. Sometimes you find at weddings that there's a machlokus between the families because there's some type of a special decoration they want for the Chuppah, or there's some type of a talis or something they want to use that's an heirloom. So if you can have two chuppas, you can sometimes solve some machlokism. So it'd be worth it for that. So you have one chuppa for the kedushin and one chuppa for the nesuin. Assuming that's what we're talking about when we mean chuppa. But here we
two covers for the bedeck.
Right. So you know, the truth is, you know, we're talking about chuppa in the yichud sense here. But in any event, you know, whatever will solve machlokus is already a plus. Yes, sir.
So I'm just a little confused. If you have a chuppa by both Kedushin and Suin, so it wouldn't work just in one shot. You'd still need to do two chuppas, he said.
That's the Marshal's point. Yeah.
And it wouldn't just work.
Which, you know, again, is not explicit here one way or another in any of these sources, right? So just reading the Gemara by itself sounds like it's saying, okay, we have a tool that works for Nisuin. Maybe it should work for Kedushin too. So it sounds like it could have meant twice. It's just, so why were we not assuming that the whole time? Well, one, because Soloveitchik and others thought that it's much more logical that we're just saying one process should accomplish both. And you could also add to it Tosfos' objection by Kesef of my ome, what's the second one any better than the first one? Which essentially means that there's no point doing the same action twice and assuming it's going to accomplish two different things. So, let me ask you the following question. Assuming that Tosfos is right, that there's no point in doing Kesef twice, and assuming the second time will accomplish more than the first time, my ome, does that have to carry over to Chuppah? Or is there any room to distinguish between Chuppah and Kesef? Hi.
When we talk about the 2 days in the Ram Pi Moshe, mm-hmm. you could just say that the two deos are possibly two different stages in terms of, if you look at Chuppah as a Kenyan, mm-hmm. and you say, this Chuppah is the, I think it was the first day in the Ram, mm-hmm. right? And then the
Ishan, so this,
there was the Ram Exubis, yeah.
Okay.
And that second day, that's a Mitzias and Ishas, could be, you know, the more classic Nisuin Chuppah scenario.
Okay, so I think that distinction is going to be relevant. But maybe we're not up to it yet. So let's just hold on to that, because I think that's definitely a key point we want to get up to in the next few minutes. But essentially, just to figure out this part of the equation, does it have to be that there's no point in doing things twice? Sentence applies to everything. Even if Tosfos is correct when they say that about Kesef, does it apply to everything else? So for example, you saw the Gemara in Daf Yud. Right, that was on the Maamar Kamo. So the Gemara there asks about Bia, and asks whether Bia does Kedushin or Nisuin. Right, so it sounds like there we're talking about Bia twice. So how come there's no objection of my ume hai Bia me hai Bia? No?
Maybe you like something along the lines of not being able to distinguish between
Kesef. Nah, never mind. Well, let's try to figure this out. I'll tell you, make a little bit of a sushel here. There's an expression, there's a quote, which is it's supposed to be a piece of wisdom, and I've always struggled with it because it doesn't sound to me wise at all. And I've heard it variously attributed to Benjamin Franklin and Albert Einstein and the Chinese. So, I don't know who originally said it, but the Mechilas Kvaidon, I never really thought it was as self-evidently correct as they say it. So the statement is, that the definition of insanity is. You've heard this before. What's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Exactly. That's the quote, right? They said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I've always been troubled by that because I don't think it's true. Right? There are times when you do something again and again and you get different results. Right? Sometimes. Sorry?
Is that the chaos theory?
Well, that's it's related to chaos theory in a second, because I'll tell you at least two reasons why. Why would you get different results doing the same thing twice? Why would it not be the same?
External factors.
So that's the second one I'm thinking of. There's no reason if you know which one is first and second. But just to clarify, one reason is because it's a cumulative effect. Sometimes it takes 10 times for something to happen. So when you do it the 10th time, it kicks in, and the first 9, it didn't. So I don't know why that's so insane. Right? It worked for Rabbi Akiva like the water on the rock, right? So I don't know why that's so insane. You want to comment on that, Jeff?
I think the idea, like I thought that too, but I think the idea is that you do the exact same thing. Like, if you change something slightly, or even if you don't, but something changes and you do it again, that's not what he's talking about. Just if you do the exact same thing in the exact same circumstances, that's insanity.
But that's a pretty narrow, I understand that, but that's a pretty narrow situation, because so many times there's such a thing as a cumulative effect.
Right, if I application, like, I, don't
if I take a hammer and I hit the desk enough times, it's eventually going to break. The first 100 times, maybe not.
Well, that's all one action. It's like, I mean, it's not practical, it's philosophical.
Yeah, it's very philosophical, Josh.
It's
about
getting different results by expecting.
Well, like you're saying, so just as it's theoretically possible, but it's like buying a lottery ticket, you're saying, is equally insane. Because you could win, but you shouldn't expect it.
Right, you expect to win, yeah.
Okay, maybe. But could be. So one reason is because of a cumulative effect. And the second, like Jacob keeps trying to say, and I keep pushing him off for no reason, that what about external factors? So context makes a big difference. So you mentioned chaos theory. So chaos theory is about the idea that many things in life are affected by such subtle things that there could be the tiniest little difference on an external factor, and it could end up having a huge ripple effect that could totally change the course of history. So to hear, who knows, externalities make a difference. So is it possible that maybe kesef is always kesef? Okay, so I give you a coin here, I give you a coin there. It's not, you can't accomplish more than it accomplished the first time. But maybe chuppah, and maybe bia also does accomplish different things in different contexts. So maybe the context is going to have a big impact on whether it's going to be different or not. Now, our old friend Reb Simcha Zissel Broyd has a very lengthy essay about this in his Sefer on Kiddushin, and I don't totally understand what he's saying, so I'm going to borrow it and adapt it a little bit, because I don't totally think it fully answers the question the way it is. But just
Zonderich.
Zonderich, yeah.
And what's the name of the essay?
It's Binyan Kinyan Chuppah Ubi, I think. So there he suggests that the point is that kesef is a kinyan. So a kinyan is a kinyan is a kinyan. So when it's a kinyan the first time, and then you do it again the second time, it doesn't make sense to say that it's accomplishing anything new. But chuppah is different, because kiddushin, it doesn't bring the full status of Neshos Ish with all of the rights and benefits. And as Nesu'in, it does. Now, the truth is, I don't find that fully satisfactory or understandable, because he's just focusing on what the end result is. So you could assign that end result to Kesef also, if it worked. So I think we need to sharpen that a little bit. But maybe there is something that is different about how chuppah works that allows the context to make more of a difference. So that's something that we would have to figure out. There is a suffix in the Mishnah Melech, if you saw this, it was also on the list, right? The Mishnah Melech asked the question, could it work to have chuppah before kiddushin? Right, you saw this? He has a suffix about this. And his inclination is to think that it shouldn't work. But he acknowledges that the Ramban sounds, the Ramban which he quotes, not in our Rambans, but the Ramban, I guess you can find it in the Rashba, but that he quotes some sources, some Rishonim, which sound like, yes, it could work, you could have Chuppah before Kiddushin. But his Niti is to say that it shouldn't work, that it doesn't really make sense to have Chuppah before Kiddushin. The whole process has to be that Kiddushin comes first and then Chuppah. So, it seems like this also connects to the question of what exactly is Chuppah and what exactly is Nisuin. So this is what Jonah tried to bring up before and I cut him off. I'm cutting everybody off simply because they're not saying things at the right time and you have no way of knowing when the right time is. But so now let's get to that. So what are the possibilities? And we saw this earlier in Zman. Right? What are the possibilities in terms of what Nisuin does and what Chuppah does as Nisuin? So Jonah, should I let you come back now and say that again? So what are the possibilities? This is a question the Ran discusses in the beginning of Exubis, right? From the Rambam, it sounds like it's both. Right, so what is it? So either we're talking about an act of Yichud here, an act of bringing the husband and wife together, or we're talking about Hafnasa L'Rishus. We're talking about bringing the wife into the husband's domain. So the question is, does that indicate a difference in terms of whether one is more kinyonic than the other? What do you think? Jay? You're nodding, so I'll... Hachnas L'Rishuso is what? Is more...
Would be more kinyonic?
It seems like it, right? No, is that you want to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in the standard way that you would have a kinyan by bringing something into someone's reshut, or specifically out of someone's reshut in order to accomplish that kinyan, that sounds very much like other kinyan.
Right, it does. Although it's interesting because we're a little bit held back on that also, because Rishonim explicitly asked, when it comes to the kinyan kedushin, why don't we do hagbah or mashicha? And they said it doesn't work because you're not being kona her. You're being kona the relationship. But nonetheless, here we apparently can still use that model and say that hachnas l'rishus is, you know, here maybe it's a little bit more metaphorical, even though it's actual at the same time, but that is more like a kinyan than yichud is. So how would we categorize yichud? If not like a kinyan? A Maisishus, exactly right. So you're remembering from when we discussed this a while ago. So we discussed this at the beginning of the Zman, it's a good review, whether Nisuin was a Kenyan. And so there the assumption was that if we see Yichud as a Maisishus, if we see it as basically creating a reality of married life, so then, it doesn't really seem like that's a kinyan. It seems like, essentially, you don't need a kinyan at that point. That the kinyan was the Maisa Kedushin. And once you have that kinyan, then, within that context, coming together as a household is what Nisuin is. So if that's the case, Chuppah doesn't necessarily have any kinyan nature to it. So it could be, and this is how some of the Achronim discuss it, that essentially this is what's going on here. Right? That the whole question of is Chuppah a kinyan or not, or could Chuppah be a kinyan, probably could connect to the question of is Chuppah ever a kinyan? Right? If we do Chuppah for Nisuin, so what's happening there? If it's a kinyan and you simply need two kinyanim in a row, then maybe it makes sense to say that just like chuppah can be the second kinyan, chuppah can be the first kinyan too. But if chuppah is never a kinyan, chuppah is just a matzav shalishus, So then, we don't have any premise to say it ever works as a kenyan. It's effective for what it does, but that shouldn't tell us that it should accomplish the tchilas kenyan, because it doesn't have any kenyan experience. And so this essentially could be a pretty straightforward way of looking at what's going on in the Gemara, even though the Gemara is whipping us back and forth with the Kal Vachomers and Pirchas and Sadashavas. But essentially, our Gemara could simply be asking, what is happening when Chuppah works as Nisun? Is it affecting a Kenyan? Or is it doing something completely else? If it's affecting a Kenyan, maybe it could also be a Kenyan earlier. If it's never a Kenyan, then who knows? No?
But according to the opinion that Chuppah is never a Kenyan, would that be problematic for the entire Gemara?
Okay, which Gemara? Mifar Gemara here?
Our Gemara.
Why do they bother?
How would any of the Avodinas
in why do they bother responding on the Pirchas?
But more than that, why it can never be a Kenyan, why would we even have the derivation of Kabbalah there?
I mean, well, we know why Rav Huna does. The question is, why do others not just say, just get out of here, it's just not relevant? So the truth is, you could say a couple of ways. You could say that that's what some of the responses imply. Right? The same way that the initial Kal Vachomer, this is part of what we mentioned yesterday, that these Gemaras about Kal Vachomers and Drushas, it's hard for us to relate to them in a Lumdish way, but usually there's Lumdus hiding behind them. So that could be what's happening here. Right? The fact that Rav Huna is using a Kal Vachomer at all, he's saying, listen, I think there's a similarity here between Chuppah and Kesef Shtar Rabia. And the others are saying, no, that's a Kal Vachomer that's no good for reasons X, Y, and Z. But maybe X, Y, and Z is a way of saying it's simply not affecting a Kenyan in that case. And if you want, I'll say it even more fitting to what you said to me in Seder. So Noah asked in Seder, is there any conceptual meaning to the refutation that appears in our Gemara that it's three and not four? And so is that just a numerical point, or does that have any conceptual meaning to it? So maybe we could say, yeah, that three, the refutation says it's three and not four. Who cares? We'll call it three, we'll call it four, we'll call it ten. The point is that the Mishnah is identifying as only a small group of things which work as a kenyan in this context. Things that are outside this group may accomplish other things. So essentially, maybe that point is saying that, yes, Chuppah does good things, but it's not a part of the three that are effective for what we need to accomplish here. You need to accomplish the Kenyan, and that's not what Chuppah does elsewhere. So maybe to address your point directly, maybe that's what's going on in that back and forth. But it could be that hiding behind all of this is this question of what exactly is going on. Now, if you want to say that Chuppah could be different the second time around, or Bia could be different the second time around. So the truth is, you could say that it has to do with the context. You could say that when you have two unrelated people, so then one act of Hachnas L'Rishuso is a way of affecting a Kenyan. And then once there's already a Kenyan, then an act of Hachnas L'Rishuso is a way of living together, is a way of creating a marriage. So then maybe there's room to say that there's a difference between the first and the second, and we don't have to have the objection of my ume, what's the benefit of the second over the first? And maybe that's true by Bia also, even though Bia is a little bit different. But the idea that this act of Bia represents something, maybe it's all contextually dependent. As opposed to Kesef, which Kesef only does a Kenyan. So why should it do another Kenyan on top of the first Kenyan? Why should the second accomplish anything different than the first? Does that make sense? Yeah, any comments or questions? Tamir?
But from the outside looking in, it's still the same action. I mean, yes, true.
Which, Rishus is.
Yeah, conceptually they're doing something different, but if you're just looking at it, it's the same thing.
Right, so that's why we want to know when that only makes sense and when it doesn't make sense. So then the question is, which types of identical actions are context-dependent and which aren't? And maybe that's essentially what the Sandara was saying, that an Akinyan really isn't contextually dependent. It works to do one thing, and then later on it should just do the same thing. There's no reason to think it does anymore. But maybe Hachnas L'Rishos is something which does have more to do with context, and therefore when you have a couple that has no connection at all, Hachnas L'Rishos is a way of stating a Kenyan. When they already move us in, so then Hachnas L'Rishos has a whole different context to it, and it's able to accomplish something else, that's good because it doesn't need to be a Kenyan at that stage. But that would really be saying a whole different approach here, that maybe chuppah later on is not a kinyan, and yet it still could be a kinyan at an earlier stage. It's also noteworthy just to add this point, that it could be that it's different things in different settings, even within nisuin. Because if you note it, I think I gave you some makoros that say this, that there are some Mishnayos and other sources which indicate that the status of Anisha Nesua could kick in when Masar Ha'av L'Shluche Habal. If you have a father who's marrying off his daughter, so he gives the daughter to the emissaries of the husband. And if you recall, we mentioned that earlier in the year, we mentioned Avasher Weiss's point that this is not shluchim in the technical sense. They don't even necessarily have to be Jewish. They are just representatives of the household of the husband. So if you say that Nisuin is Hachnasul Rishus, okay, that's what these Shluchim Habal could represent. They are part of the household. But if it's a Yichud, so how could this constitute Yichud? He's not even there. And so where is their Yichud then? So here, Beis Yaakov deals with this in the beginning of Ketubos. The Beis Yaakov was written by the author of the Nesivos HaMishpat, Rav Yaakov Melissa, in his Sefer Ketubos. And Rav Soloveitchik essentially made the same point, that maybe there's a difference between Kedusha Ketana, or Naira, and an adult woman. That when you have a marriage that's taking place, that the father is marrying off his underage daughter, so then the Nisuin takes on a different gather. Then the Nisuin takes place through the Hachnasa L'Rishos. Because there, the das of the Isha is not really involved at all, right? It's all the das of the father. So the das of the father doesn't really lend itself to the Yichud. But when you have the Nisuin of an adult woman, so then it's her das that's involved, and then the Nisuin could constitute a process of Yichud. Okay, any questions about any of that? Okay, so I think in order to keep this relatively manageable, maybe we will not explore all the depths of this issue, but we'll let that serve as our frameworks. Maybe we'll just review what we spoke about today, and then we'll dive in, and then when we next continue with the Gemara, I think there's more to say about Kedusha Bia, but again, I want to allow time for other sources and other sugyas. So here on the bottom of Hayim and Beis, we already get into Amira. Amira is a very major topic, so I think we'll start with that next time, and then tomorrow we'll have to do Parsha, big topics in Parsha tomorrow. So just to basically recap, so we saw that the Gemara considers the question of whether chuppah can be a kinyan kedushin, and the Gemara considers the process through a context of various kal v'chomers and refutations. So we wanted to try to figure out how these kal v'chomers work and what exactly are the underlying assumptions. And then we saw also that there's room to wonder, when we say chuppah could work, do we mean that the chuppah of nesu'in accomplishes both, or that we would have two chuppahs? And we saw that Tosfos mentions that for sure it's not going to be two kesefs. You're not going to say that kesef should work as nesuin, because that would mean kesef twice, and what possible advantage could there be to doing the same thing two times? So we discussed, in light of the so-called wisdom of insanity, is doing the same thing twice expecting different results. We noted that sometimes it does make sense. Some things are context-dependent, and it could be that there are different results. So we discussed the possibility that, like Rav Shimcha Zissel Broyd noted, that kinyan of kesef is a kinyan, so that the second time is still a kinyan, it's not accomplishing anything new. And perhaps when it comes to chuppah, the second time is doing something different. Just like when it comes to bia also, the Gemara on Daf Yud has a suffix about whether bia is kedushin or nesuin, and we're not worried there about what's the advantage of the first time over the second time, or vice versa. So to understand that a little bit further, we then consider the question of what does chuppah do when it's nesuin, what does nesuin accomplish? We mentioned the two possibilities, either that it is a kinyan again, or that it's a matzav shalishus, and that maybe that's relevant here, that maybe the issue is that if it's a kinyan there, it could be a kinyan here. If it's never a matzav, if it's never a kinyan, it's a matzav shalishus, then we don't have any basis to say that it could be a kinyan here. But then we also know you could say a little bit differently, that you could say that if it is the context that's dependent, so then maybe when you have a couple that's not related at all, so then it could be a kinyan. But then when they have a kinyan already, then the context is such that the hachnash l'rishus is more a matzav avishus, and that could also address the mai ume question that we mentioned also, that if you say that it's yichud, the question is how can we find several mishnayos that say that nesun could take place by the father handing over his daughter to emissaries of the husband, and that's an act of hachnas l'rishos. That's why Rav Asher Weiss noted they don't even have to be actual shluchim. And you mentioned the statement to the Beis Yaakov that maybe nesuin is different things in different contexts, that when there's no das involved on the part of the girl, because it's the father's das, so then nesuin is simply hachnas l'rishos. And when it is an adult girl, so an adult woman, so then is her das involved, and it is the actual creation of Ishus that is happening with the Nisun. Okay, so any questions? Was that clear? I know it was a complex topic, but is it basically clear now, more or less? Okay, any issues? All right, so who would like to daven for us? Jedidiah, you're volunteering? All right.